Welcome to the F3, Female Forward Finance, a podcast dedicated to exploring the intersection of women, wealth, and power. I'm Jill Faraday Lloyd, a financial advisor at UBS Private Wealth, and my mission is to help women have agency with their capital and to align their wealth with their values. The F3 is a space for real conversation about money, power, and everything in between. Whether you're building a business, navigating a career transition, managing family wealth, preparing for a major life event, the F3 is here to arm you with insights, tools, and the assurance to make bold, confident decisions about your financial future. Because women aren't just inheriting, we're earning it. We're building it. And we are shaping what comes next in the world. And it's time we own every bit of that power. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the very first episode of F3, Female Forward Finance. I'm Jill Faraday Lloyd. To kick off this inaugural episode, I couldn't think of a better guest than Carrie Schuffman, head of UBS Women's Wealth in the United States. Carrie and her team have been leading groundbreaking research into how women engage with money, the challenges we face, and the massive opportunities ahead. With women poised to control the majority of wealth in the U.S. by 2030, this is an unbelievable conversation you don't want to miss. We'll dive into why women's financial engagement is no longer optional, and how to break free from the outdated narratives about women and wealth, and what we can all do starting right now to own our financial futures. If you've ever felt like money conversations weren't meant for you, or you're ready to take your seat at the financial table, this is the perfect place to begin. Let's get started. On our very first podcast, it is so fitting to have an incredibly special guest, my colleague and friend, Carrie Schuffman. Carrie is UBS's head of women's wealth in the United States. And Carrie, I am so excited to have you here. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Jill.
Before we get started, one of the reasons I joined UBS over 3.5 years ago is because of the work that the firm is doing in the women's wealth space. And I thought it might be helpful for you to tell our listeners a bit about your background, Carrie, and the Own Your Worth initiative that UBS has been doing.
It's such an honor to join you, Jill, for your first F3 podcast. So thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to talk more about our women's wealth efforts at UBS and all the great work that you and I, Jill, have been able to do together since you joined 3.5 years ago. So the women's wealth team at UBS was started about 8 years ago now, really in an effort to ensure that we as a firm are positioned to help women navigate their financial lives and prepare for their financial futures. Our goal is really threefold. It's to bring more women to the money table, to support women who are at that money table, and then ultimately to make that table a more inclusive place for women. And we do that in a number of different ways. The first, and I would say the foundational piece, is research, which you mentioned, Jill, which we call Own Your Worth. And we've had the opportunity to publish 7, soon to be 8, Own Your Worth reports over the last many years. We also host events all over the country focused on women's wealth and topics that we know are of interest to our women clients and their families. We publish and produce educational resources and more. And then, of course, we work very closely with advisors like you in terms of supporting you and your practice and all of your clients through podcasts and opportunities like this one today.
Well, I really enjoyed having our opportunity to work together because data drives everything that you do in your part of the firm. And education is an important part of your work, but it's also the cornerstone of the work that I do mm-hmm. with my clients. Let's talk big picture here. We've got this tsunami coming, the great wealth transfer, which I'm sure by now everybody has heard of. There is a report by McKinsey saying that by 2030, the majority of wealth in the United States will be in the hands of women. That's just remarkable, isn't it?
It really is. And it's something that we've been looking at now for many years. And of course, the data existed when we started this journey. And I would say the data just gets stronger and stronger every day. And not just the data, right? The data is the high level, but we see it each and every day with the women that we serve, in the conversations that we're having, in the headlines that we see around the tremendous advances that women are making each and every day. And so the face of wealth is changing rapidly, and it's becoming more female. And that's really exciting. More women are earning college and graduate degrees, contributing up to their household incomes than ever before, taking on C-suite and corporate board and managerial positions, and starting their own businesses at unprecedented rates. On top of that, you also have demographics shifts. Women tend to live longer than men on average. We see an increase in gray divorce, decreasing rates of marriage. And so all of these things really show that women are stepping into their financial power and becoming the stewards of their own wealth journeys, whether they are creating wealth, whether they are inheriting wealth, or both. And that's really exciting to witness. But I also think it shows a profound opportunity for us to ensure that, you know, as a society, when we ask the question, are we ready, that we are.
I mean, this is so exciting. And it really challenges the traditional narratives that women aren't in the driver's seat in terms of families' financial wealth. Many times, my clients, they're the primary breadwinners in their families. It's a whole new era.
Absolutely. I mean, we actually even did research specifically on women who are the primary earners in their households last year, because we see that is happening at even higher rates than ever before. Our research showed, in surveying couples across the country, that about a third of households had a woman breadwinner. And certainly they face unique challenges. Women who are starting their own businesses or exiting businesses face their own challenges. Women who are going through a major life event face certain challenges. But I think regardless, across the board, you know, whoever you are, wherever you might be, each of us as women are incredibly unique. We make up a population. And I think it's an incredible time given these demographic changes.
Carrie, I loved the research report that we did on women primary breadwinners. Mm. What was that called? Tradition?
Tradition, trust, and time.
Let's talk about the three T's.
Sure.
And what my female primary bread earning clients face.
Yeah.
I know, but why don't you talk
sure.
through the research?
Sure, absolutely. And I think that was a really interesting report, because we uncovered that despite this tremendous financial power, particularly that women breadwinners are creating, that they still face many challenges at home when it comes to navigating personal financial decisions about that wealth that they are creating and about that income that they are generating. So the first would be tradition. We see that women still face traditional gender role expectations at home that we've seen for many, many years, for many decades.
For always.
Mm-hmm. For example, only about half of women who said they were the breadwinner in their household felt comfortable being the breadwinner, whereas when men said they were the breadwinner, the vast majority, almost about 90%, said that they were comfortable with that mm-hmm. dynamic. So that's the tradition piece. Trust, tension. We see there's often tension in the household around the earning power that women breadwinners have to contend with. And then lastly is time. And I think this resonates with all of us as human beings. We're all so incredibly busy. We're juggling so much, whether we're juggling our careers, we're juggling our households, whether we have children or aging parents that we're taking care of. The reality is that many women breadwinners said, on top of my career, on top of my income, I'm also managing the household. I'm also managing childcare at even higher rates, despite being the primary earner. And I just simply don't have the time to then focus on my financial life. And I'd rather someone else does it.
Yeah. So frustrating, right? Mm-hmm. Being in the sandwich generation. It's hard, right?
Yeah.
We love our kids. We want to make sure that they're okay. We love our parents. We want to make sure that they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do everything else. It's that mental load mm-hmm. that women carry. A nod to Eve Rodsky and
yes.
Fair Play right
mm-hmm.
now.
Emotional labor, all of that.
Yeah. Let's shift the conversation to talk a little bit about the other way that women may step into financial opportunity, financial responsibility, mm-hmm. and that is through, let's say, divorce and widowhood,
mm-hmm.
right? It's important topics here. The divorce rate is significant, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned yourself that we're seeing a rise in gray divorces. What do you see as the key considerations for women who are navigating these difficult transitions?
Sure, absolutely. And I think it's important to sort of frame, in addition to the fact that women control and are on track to control tremendous wealth, we know in the United States that about 8 in 10 women will at some point be in a position where they have to manage their finances on their own, whether that's because they've never been married or it's because of these demographic shifts, like the fact that almost 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce, and women tend to outlive men on average, often by anywhere between 5 and 7 years. So,
and because when men remarry, they tend to remarry younger women.
So that potential gap in the amount of time that you may be on your own is even greater. Exactly. And so I'll first define gray divorce because I think it's a term that's gained tremendous popularity in recent years. But gray divorce is really a term that refers to divorcing couples over 50. And we've seen a tremendous spike in gray divorce since the 1990s. To answer, though, your question, Jill, around the key considerations for women navigating divorce, recognizing that this is something that's happening more and more often, and we actually see that women tend to initiate divorces more often than the reverse, I would say one of the most important lessons that we've learned from our Own Your Worth research, where we actually went out and surveyed and spoke to hundreds of women who had gone through a divorce all over the country, what they said is that they wish they had been more engaged in making financial decisions while they were part of a couple. And they would recommend to other women, regardless of age, marital status, life situation, to take a more active role in financial decision making now before the potential life event
occurs. So what does that look like to those people?
Absolutely. So I think it really comes down to, do you understand your financial picture? Do you understand where the money that's coming in is going, how it's being spent, how you're saving for the future? Your short-term goals, right? Your liquidity goals, what's going to keep your household, your family, yourself running for the next, let's say, year or two, 3 years, the roof over your head, your needs, your wants, your wishes. Understanding that current financial picture, I think, is so important because that'll also help you understand your cash flow as well as how your cash flow might need to change if there is a significant life event.
Equally as important as your trusted estate.
Exactly. And then there's the longer term, right? The longevity considerations, which are how are you preparing for the future? And that's your financial plan through the course of your life.
But which it's will also be a long one.
Yes, exactly. But also making sure that, you know, God forbid something happens and it's not as long as you might hope and expect, that the right things are in place to make sure that your estate is taken care of, but also most importantly, that the people you love are taken care of, or the causes that you care about, that you're supporting them through your legacy. So it really comes down to understanding your current financial picture, how that might change, you know, or how that's going to change after the life event, and then working with a financial professional whom you feel comfortable asking questions and who can really fill in those gaps and then work with you on the plan with their expertise across all the different facets of your financial life.
I can't reiterate how important that is and how many times I've heard from my divorced clients that they didn't have any idea of the financial situation. And now they do. And they were forced to.
Right.
It's very hard to change human nature. Mm-hmm. Right? We do what we're comfortable with.
Exactly.
And so part of this importance of these conversations that I want to bring to the table with the F3 is helping women create that agency, helping them see where they can, on the margin, get more engaged or really engaged with their financial lives. Let's talk a little bit about widowhood, because there was a fascinating study by Fidelity several years ago that showed that 70% of all widows leave their husband's financial advisor within the first year of his death. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the numbers aren't that different for divorce either, actually.
That doesn't surprise me. So that study and that data highlights why women really need to take an active interest in their finances earlier. Because my clients who are widowed said, I'm moving my financial advisor because that guy, he never talked to me. He only talked to my husband. He didn't insist that I'll be on the calls, mm-hmm. right? So I need to build my own team. And I think that's the risk, is not knowing what it's all about when you're married, mm-hmm. because that's when surprises can really come and hit you on the head. So what advice would you give women in this situation? They're not the primary breadwinner. They're in a happy marriage. Their husband's many years older, has been the breadwinner. How would you advise them to get engaged?
Well, I think, look, you know, when you're navigating a loss, like the loss of a spouse, certainly grief plays a tremendous role. I know, Jill, you and I have talked a lot about that, sort of the psychology of grief and how it impacts everything that we're talking about. And I think you need to acknowledge that as part of this experience. Mm-hmm. And the reality is you're dealing with so many different things, from how are you going to manage the actual household that you lived in with your partner or spouse now that they're gone, to the little things like the cell phone bill, the utilities bill, all of those things. So the reality is that when it comes to the bigger financial picture, it can be really, really valuable to get help.
Right, because they're doing everything, right? Mm-hmm. They're running the household, they're running mm-hmm. the family, paying the bills, they're mm-hmm. doing all that. I've found with many of my clients, it's this sort of divide and conquer, mm-hmm. right? Like, I can't do everything, so you do that. That's your thing. You're good at that. You're interested in that. You do that, and I'll do everything else.
Yeah, right? And our research has shown that that's actually exactly how this dynamic happens. And we've found in our research that about half of heterosexual married couples in the United States, the women in those couples tell us that they're not actually involved in the long-term financial decisions. That was one of the biggest findings from our Own Your Worth research over the last 7 years. And one of the biggest reasons was that divide and conquer approach. But if there's a life event like the passing of a spouse or partner, you can't divide and conquer those decisions.
No,
it's all on your plate.
Right. And that's where the grief mm-hmm. and the managing your family's grief.
All the other responsibilities that you had before
yeah.
and then some, right? Because now you are the sole steward of that wealth, of making those financial decisions. And that's where working with an advisor, sitting down with someone, but it has to be someone that you trust and have a good relationship with. And that, I think, is why we see those stats you referred to before of women switching advisors, because whether it was by their own choice, they didn't want to be involved, they didn't take an active interest, whether it was because the advisor never made a concerted effort to engage her, whatever the reason might be, it's often that in that moment, you want a fresh start. And I think that's where the role of the advisor and advisors like you, Jill, can really come in and say, you will be okay. I may not be able to help you navigate your grief. I may not be able to help you manage your household, but I can make sure that financially you feel like you are in an okay place to focus on the future, to have enough cash flow to maintain your lifestyle. You know, maybe you're supporting children or grandchildren. What does that look like? And how can you continue to do the things that are most important to you? And how can your money help you do that? And how can you also continue to be a good steward of what you built as a couple? Because the values and the responsibility we hear from women, that's also a tremendous consideration moving forward after the death of a spouse.
Let's talk to that for a second, right? Because one of the things that we try to work with our clients on is this notion of multi-generational wealth, mm-hmm. right? Like most of our clients are extremely wealthy and they have more money than they'll ever spend in their lifetime. So they're focused on what they can give to their children and their grandchildren. And that is not just money.
Right. Right.
Right. That is not just money. In the research that you've done with Own Your Worth and the women's segment, how are they thinking about passing those values on in addition to that wealth?
We talk about that, right? Because certainly money is a tool and a sort of a current that runs through all of our lives. And it's what allows us to have a roof over our head, give back to the causes that we care about, pay for our family's lives. You know, there's no doubt that money is integral to everything that we do, whether we like it or not, whether we want to think about it or talk about it or not. Mm. But it's so much more than that financial capital, right? It's our human capital. It's our social capital. And I think understanding that at a big picture level is really important to then drill down to, okay, how is my financial capital going to power those other things that are most important to me? And when I'm no longer here, what does that look like, right? So we talk a lot, and in our research, we talk about this concept of discussing family values, discussing priorities, discussing what your wealth means to you and what you hope it'll mean to the next, you know, rising generation. We have an incredible team at UBS, and Jill, I know you work with them very closely, our family advisory and philanthropy services team. And these are experts positioned all over the country who are specifically dedicated exactly to that, to helping families navigate intergenerational wealth transfer conversations, family meetings, getting people to actually talk about these things before.
Yeah, taboo. Money's been a taboo mm-hmm. topic, huh?
We've even done research, not on the women's wealth side, but on a firm-wide level, we've done a ton of research on the topic of multi-generational wealth. And we see time and time again that many people say they didn't feel prepared for that. They didn't talk about it with their parents if they're on the receiving end. If they're on the giving end, they haven't addressed it with their, you know, adult children or the future heirs of that wealth. It's hard to talk about. It can be taboo. It's a morbid conversation, but it's so important to have conversation.
Every healthy relationship that I have is because we have communication. Every unhealthy relationship I have is because I'm withholding information, mm-hmm. honestly. And there are times and places and ways to express that information. But I completely agree. And I've seen wealth transfer happen very successfully with open communication. And I've seen it be much more difficult. I'm going to segue for a second because I want to land today on an area that I do a lot of work around, which is helping female entrepreneurs get to successful tax-efficient exits. Right? This is the part where women are creating their own wealth. And you said it earlier, we're getting more college degrees and advanced degrees than men, right? We're seeing women dominate white-collar job opportunities. And there's this entrepreneurial boom, which is occurring, where nearly over half of all new businesses are started by women. We have issues. It's very difficult to access capital to grow your business. But I wanted to hear a little bit more about what the women's group, the women's wealth group at UBS is thinking about in terms of supporting women entrepreneurs as they move, growing their businesses, and then ultimately exiting their businesses. Because this is where I spend a lot of my time.
Absolutely. And it's where we spend a lot of our time too, particularly because you do see some of these really exciting trends, women starting businesses at faster rates than men. There's studies that show women actually successfully exit slightly faster than their male counterparts. Yep. And there was research from BCG that showed that women-founded companies actually generate more revenue per dollar the male-founded company. So really exciting statistics. But again, to your point, and you mentioned this, and I'd be remiss not to mention, we know that there are still significant barriers for women entrepreneurs, whether that's access to funding, mentorship, the networks that can be really, really helpful in whether it's actually securing funding or even just walking through, you know, what are the pros and cons of bootstrapping my business or accepting VC funding or going the private equity route, right? It's important to understand all of your options so that you make the best decision for you and for your business. And that's something that we do a lot at UBS. We have tremendous resources for business owners around creating their businesses, managing and growing, access to capital, and then ultimately in terms of how to actually exit, what are all of the options that are available to you, weighing the pros and cons. And I think that's where having a network of advisors and certainly someone like you, Jill, can be the center and the kind of the hub and the connector for that network.
Yeah, you got to build your team.
It's really important. But we've done a ton. We have an entire website, a female founders hub specifically for women business owners. We've done research with women entrepreneurs around the world, talking to them about some of the challenges that they've faced, how they've overcome them. We sponsored a book last year called Exit Right, which is a really great book with two founders who successfully exited, talking about sort of the do's and the don'ts and their advice. We've done events around that book all over the country. So I think the business owner piece is a really important part of, I think, any conversation around the creation of wealth in this country. But certainly, I think when we put a lens and a spotlight on women, something that we should constantly be talking about and focusing on and celebrating, right, and championing too. Yeah.
For all you F3 listeners, you'll be hearing a lot more on that topic from me. We're going to wrap here. Carrie, this has been such an enlightening conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the work you're doing to empower women financially.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jill. It's been terrific to discuss these important topics, and I hope that it inspires more women and more listeners to take charge of their financial futures. And personally, I'm excited to hear some of the next speakers that you have coming up on future podcasts as well.
Thank you, Carrie.
That's it for today's episode of F3, Female Forward Finance. If you found this conversation valuable, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and more importantly, share it with another woman who could benefit. If you'd like to stay updated with insights, resources, and exclusive content, join my mailing list by emailing me at jill.lloyd@ubs.com. Until next time, keep building, keep growing, and let's make those financial dreams a reality. Onward.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC registered broker dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.